Welcome to the Road Ahead Cafe. Hang on to your hat and enjoy the ride, because you're about to get some powerful insights and practical hacks that will take your daily life to the next level. And now, here are your hosts, Rick, Frank, and Peter.
Welcome back to the Road Ahead Cafe. I'm your host, Rick Gabrielli, and I'm here with change facilitator Frank Vandenhorst and mindfulness coach Peter M. Fellows. And in this week's episode, you asked us, what can I do to be more emotionally intelligent? Peter, can you tell us something about what you'll be sharing with us today?
Thank you, Rick. Thank you very much. Good to be back here with you, my two partners in Empowering People. And of course, with our vast unseen audience, because you are who we do this thing for. In each episode of the Road Ahead Cafe, we seek to help you retool and refuel with insights and mental hacks that will keep you going on your journey. And we do this in part because this is the way we pay it forward, and because we know that in doing this, we help you pay it forward. Just imagine an entire online community of people who can't help but want to help others. And then you're imagining the source. Get coaching, learn to give coaching, and earn as you grow. The source is a place where helpers like you come to grow and to help you along in your own personal growth. Today, we're going to be sharing a little bit of what we know about leveling up your emotional intelligence. And I'll be back in a moment to talk about that. Rick?
Thank you, Peter. Great stuff. Frank, how about you?
So the question is, what can I do to be more emotionally intelligent? Before answering that question, we have to know what EQ, otherwise emotional intelligence, is all about. In episode 40, Book Talk, I talked about a book written by Daniel Goleman in 1995, Emotional Intelligence, Why It Can Matter More Than IQ. The concept of emotional intelligence could be more important than IQ when it comes to success in life, Goleman says. In this episode, I quickly give you a recap of emotional intelligence, followed by some suggestions to give your IQ a boost. Do you want to know more? Stay tuned. You won't regret it. Rick.
Great stuff, Frank. Thank you. So this is what I'll be sharing. Emotional intelligence is the good stuff. I'll tell you two stories of how I found this awareness in my life and how it has impacted everyone around me. All right, Peter, what do you have for us today?
Okay, well, in battle, there's an incredibly empowering thing, a tool called military intelligence. You want to know all about the state of the opponent that you're engaging. And it's also important that you know all about your own state, the state of your own forces in that. And with a good knowledge of these two elements, you can make the best moves to successfully engage your opponent. Well, in life, it's emotional intelligence which makes all the difference. You want to know all about the emotional state of those you engage with, and you also want to know all about your own emotional state so that you can successfully engage not only those people you interact with in your personal and work life, but also all aspects of life you engage with, even each mundane moment in your day. At the source, I teach a path called the Pathfinder's Question. Based upon positive psychology research, we do what's called self-distancing by attributing your thoughts and emotions to your brain. And then we go further and personify that as a character we call Dobby. This third-person perspective allows you to understand and handle your emotions more effectively, but it also helps you understand others more effectively and thus levels up your emotional intelligence. But in a few moments that I have here, let me just offer you some suggestions for leveling up your life and interactions with people by leveling up emotional intelligence. One, watch the flow. As you go through your day, notice when the flow of things gets interrupted. As soon as you do, notice what Dobby, your brain, is saying and thinking. And this shouldn't be too difficult, because when your brain judges a situation to be threatening to some value Dobby holds dear, it releases chemicals that flush through the body, and depending upon the intensity, that's what you feel. That's what you call anxious, feeling angry, feeling jealous, whatever. Notice, too, how those feelings that Dobby has impact the decisions and the behaviors that follow. Two, accept that with compassion. No need to be self-critical about those feelings or behaviors that follow. Remember, first, it's not you. It's Dobby. It's Dobby, your brain. And second, remember, it's not Dobby's fault. His and her judgments are just the way result of the way that he got or she got conditioned in the course of your life. Research tells us that we are terrible at self-care. We find it far easier to be compassionate about the failings of other people than our perceived failings. And that's another reason why knowing the thoughts and feelings that originate in your brain, in personifying it, you can get some distance, and that helps you out. It takes the stress off you, and it makes it easier to practice being compassionate with another. And then that organically spreads outwards to other people. And all you have to do is to use what psychology calls third-person self-talk. All you have to do is say something like, I hear you or feel you, Dobby, and that's okay. As simple as that, a simple statement of compassion. Number three, just stop if you want to get going again. So you've noticed an interruption in the flow or fulfillment in your life. Your car broke down, your least favorite person showed up, the boss is yelling at you. And when you feel it in your body, you self-distance from it, you attribute it to Dobby, and you acknowledge his or her feelings, and now you stop. Stop is an acronym to help you remember. Now, in this venue, you can't really get as much personalized coaching as when you remember the source, but here's the overview. Stop. S is for step back from the noise and ask the Pathfinder's question, where is our best path forward here to reconnect with the flow and fulfillment? T is for take a big breath in and then a long, slow exhale. The longer duration of the exhale, by the way, triggers your vagus nerve to squirt out some stress-busting acetylcholine. It's like giving yourself a self-made tranquilizer. O is for observe what's happening in your jaw, your shoulders, your seat, and your stomach. Just looking at these spots causes your brain to automatically release any tension in them. You don't have to do anything. That's the power of mindfulness. P is proceed with the path presented. Just look at what happens next. Whatever you notice, part of your path. You might get an inspiration, an insight, an impulse to action, an intuition, or some external thing may have happened that moves you forward. Four, listen to others. So this is important for two reasons. One, when you've asked the Pathfinder's question, you want to hear what people are saying and how Dobby is reacting so that you can receive guidance on how best to move forward. And two, when you want to help people, and I know you people want to help people, you need to hear them to help them. Now, the fancy name for just listening to someone, that is listening without trying to figure out when you can jump in with your better point, is active listening. And we did an all about episode on it, episode 23, I believe, active listening back at the beginning of this year. But here, I just want to suggest that if you want to help people, to truly help them, and I know that you do in the heart of your hearts, then the first step is in coaching is Dobby has to be okay with what they're saying. No matter what they say, no matter how outrageous it is, Dobby has to be okay with that. And then the second step is to just listen to them. Remember, that's not them talking. That's their Dobby talking. And what he's trying to do is he's trying to protect them. So you ask yourself, what are the values that their Dobby feels are being threatened? And as you coach Dobby to just listen with this question in mind, he, she will begin to see the commonality between you. And you need common ground to be able to help the other person. And in just listening without trying to counter or criticize or analyze, just being accepting and compassionate, nothing more, no advice, no problem solving, just listening, you level up your emotional intelligence and you affirm their value as a human being. And that is the very best essence of what it means to be a peer coach at the source. Rick?
Wow. Great stuff, Peter. Thank you. Frank, tell us what you have for us today.
Daniel Goleman's model of emotional intelligence includes the following five skills. First, self-awareness. Know your emotions, strength, and weakness. Weaknesses, you know what your values are, what drives you, and what the impact is on others. Self-regulation, number two, controlling or redirecting disruptive impulses and moods. Number three, motivation, relishing achievement for its own sake. for empathy, understanding other persons and other people's emotional makeup. And number five, social skills, building rapport with others to move them in a desired direction. As a change facilitator, I've coached many people and teams to become more emotionally intelligent. Recently, I was at a Fortune 500 company that wanted to create a mentoring program. Together with a colleague, we led a workshop about this topic with 35 senior managers attending. They said unanimously, EQ plays an essential role in effective mentoring. Well, that was no surprise for us. Of all the five aspects, self-awareness is indeed the most important one. Because if you are self-aware, you know your emotions, strengths, and weaknesses, you know your values, you know what drives you, and you know what the impact is on others, Goleman stipulates. If you want to be a great mentor to junior colleagues, we said during the workshop, you have to be a good self-mentor, to put it that way. And in order to be that, you have to be self-aware. Self-awareness is a quality of being awake and present in the moment. What do you mean, Frank? Well, you just look and listen to what is taking place at the moment. You observe, you don't judge, you don't condemn. As a figure of speech, you hang your opinions on a branch in the tree and leave them there. You observe, you look, you listen, you feel. Yes, but I can't stop thinking, Frank, you might say. Look at us this way. Your thoughts are like clouds in the sky. They come and go, don't they? You are not attached to one of them, are you? No, probably not, or I hope so. You observe, you look, you listen, and you feel. You become a witness to what's going on. For example, you're waiting in line for a checkout and suddenly someone pushes in front of you. What's your first reaction? Anger? Well, might be. Emotional intelligence number two refers to self-regulation, controlling or redirecting disruptive impulses and moods. Well, this is such a case. But in order to regulate your impulses and moods, you have to do something else. What could that be? Well, as Peter says, you have to become a witness first. With that, I mean, you have to look at yourself standing in that line from a distance. You have to become, what I could say, a curious, open-minded bystander. As you are that curious, open-minded bystander, that witnessing in yourself in that situation, you ask yourself the following three questions. One, what is happening right now with me? In your mind, you describe what is happening at the moment. Facts, no opinions, because you left them in that tree, you remember? In this case, I see a person pushing in front of me. Yes, that's the case. Number two, what do I feel right now? I feel anger or any other emotion, whatever it is. It's okay to feel it. Three, where do you feel your anger in your body right now? It might take a moment to register. It could be that you're grinding your teeth, clenching your hands, have tension in your chest, furrowing brows, or something like that. Just be with that for a moment. Remember, you left your opinions hanging on a branch in a tree. If you do this just for a moment, you will feel that your anger slowly is getting less and less. Meanwhile, keep witnessing until you are not driven by any negative emotion or any negative thought. No condemnation, no judgment. If you are at that point, you pass the marker. Congratulations! You are not reacting to what's happening. You observe, you look, you listen, you feel. And yes, now you can choose a response because you have an inner freedom to do so. In this way, you boost your emotional intelligence because this is behavior that's related to emotional intelligent behavior. In the cases presented, you can ask in a non-violent way if that person is in a hurry or something like that, and you take it from there with a smile. Self-awareness is the key to living in balance and is the backbone of emotional intelligence. Rick, what about you?
Wow. Great stuff, Frank. Thank you. So here's what I want to share with you today. When I was about 13 years old, I had a girlfriend. Her name was Cheryl. And when I used to go over to her house, her mom was so cool. She would help us bake cookies together. So we would get all the ingredients together from scratch. And so she was observing us as, young, relationship-oriented teens. And she just really enjoyed, you know, being around us and watching this young love grow. So here we are making cookies in the kitchen. And her name was Jill. You know, I called her mom at the time. But she was helping us with all the ingredients, and she was really observing us. And so I remember her kind of pointing out things about me. She was like the first person who said, "Oh, wow, you know, you have these gifts and this gift, and you're so kind and so polite with my daughter and all this stuff." And so that was the first time I really had like self-awareness. Somebody was telling me about me that was outside my family. So really was, a beautiful way to find out from some outsider, especially, you know, a mom of a girl that I was dating, what she thought of me. So I got that self-awareness from Jill. And it was just a terrific time in my life, especially as a 13-year-old trying to figure all these things out. So I developed so much from that. She really showed me that I could look in the mirror and maybe see who I was. Then I remember this other time when my dad, who had an auto body shop when I was a kid growing up, one day, I was so tired of doing like all the menial labor, picking up tools, you know, cleaning up after the guys and doing all like the janitorial stuff. And I wanted to do more. So I said, "I want to do more. I want to run the business like you do." I must have been like maybe 14 or something. So he said, "Oh, you want to write estimates?" I said, "Sure." So he started to teach me how to write estimates. And then after writing a few of them, which came pretty easily to me, he asked me if I wanted to talk to customers. So one time this lady comes in, you know, most of the people who came in were traumatized. They had just wrecked their car or something bad happened. So they were already in a bad way. And he had a great way of, you know, kind of relaxing them and helping them calm down. So he said, "We're going to talk to, you know, this lady when she comes in, I'm going to let you do the whole thing. So, you know, welcome her to the body shop and have her sit down and, you know, then we'll go look at her car, ask her what happened." And so this kind of gave me the social awareness. I was actually talking to people who I found out later they were customers. And so doing this whole process of, you know, meeting the person, greeting them, then going out and looking at the car, having an assessment, going in, writing this estimate, and then communicating with them, this whole process gave me like the self-management piece. And so both of these stories led me to relationship management, first in a romantic sense, and then, of course, you know, with the mom, which was like, you know, the community thing and the social relationship. And then later on, not only with my dad, but the customers, and then even following through to talk to the men about how we were going to, you know, dismantle this car, do a proper estimate, then bring it back in and put it back together. So all of these relationship management skills between girlfriends, friends, and customers, and then later on in my life with wife, kids, business partners, really led me to this emotional intelligence, all of my job experiences. But certainly those two foundational stories were like the root of my, cultivating this emotional intelligence in myself. Now with Master Networks, the podcast, with Frank and Peter, The Source, our community, Beamer, and my dental spa, I've really been able to grow in leadership and really learn how to respond to life instead of reacting to what happens. So I have one other thing I want to share. When I first got into the internet world, I had an ISP, which is an internet service provider, back in the day when they were first, it was brand new. We're talking AOL, just came out, your first modem. And so we had a lot of technical difficulties. And there was this guy, Greg, who worked at a company called Westnet. I remember him when he sent an email at the bottom, his signature said, "The journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step." And he taught me patience. He taught me patience with technology, which I was later able to use with people. It was my first technical experience. So thank you, Greg, for teaching me patience, which I thought was one of the keys to developing empathy and really growing in my own emotional intelligence. Peter, your final thoughts?
Very cool. Very cool work. So noticing what's going on with your brain, Dobby, understanding where he, she's coming from, empowering him, her with the Pathfinder's question, and listening for Dobby's values in another person is a very powerful path to increasing emotional intelligence. But it's true that in our podcast, we can only hint to how to walk this path. Hopefully we've kindled a spark. If you want, check it out. The source123.com is our online members only peer coaching community. And this is where helpers come to give coaching, to get coaching, and to earn as they grow, Rick.
Thank you, Peter. Frank, your final thoughts?
As we have seen, self-awareness is the key to living in balance and is the backbone of emotional intelligence. If you want to be more emotionally intelligent, become a witness to stressful situations you are in your life at that moment. Ask as a witness, as a bystander, these three questions. One, what is happening right now with me? Two, what do I feel right now? And three, where do I feel what I'm feeling in my body right now? And then wait. Have patience, as Rick said, and the stressful feeling will become less and less. You will gradually feel more inner freedom arising. You will respond in a kind way and in an emotional, intelligent way. This and much more we talk about in our new members-only community, The Source. Join us at thesource123.com and become a member of that new community. Get coaching, help others, level up your life, earn as you grow, and much more. Looking forward to see you there. And as always, what you think about and think about, you bring about. Peter. Oh, no, Rick. Sorry. Rick, what about you?
Great stuff, Frank. Thank you. So my final thoughts, when we take time to look in the mirror and ask the real questions, the ones that keep us aware, curious, patient, and kind, we can continually develop our emotional intelligence. And this wonderful tool will serve us and those around us for a lifetime. Thank you for joining us today for the Road Ahead Cafe. Remember, if you like us, subscribe. And if you love us, make a quick selfie video right now to tell us one golden nugget you got today. And go check out The Source at thesource123.com. We look forward to getting together with you again next week. Until then, savor your day today.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Road Ahead Cafe. Hungry for more? Don't miss out. Follow this channel and be sure to subscribe to our email at theroadaheadcafe.com. Thank you for stopping by. See you next time.